Of the revolution. Today will be the day. I give it back to you. Today will be the start of the revolution. I'm way
on. You know, when I turned 47, all of a sudden I needed these. And I think it was at the beginning of the end, they always laugh about, but give me your eyes that I can see. I love that line in that last song. The eyes of faith never grow dim. In fact, the eyes of faith, when we are close to our Jesus, just sharpen with age. So that when we lay our heads back, the day that God takes us home to heaven, he's sharp, he's crystal clear. He's our beautiful Savior. So keep that in mind as we head into our lesson today. Let us begin in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25. A rather deep section of the Word of God that we'll mine today as we look into community. Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us encourage how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of our God. Dear friends in our Lord Jesus Christ, how important is touch in the human experience of community. Touch can be physical. Touch can be emotional. Touch can be spiritual. All touch is important. I think we'd be on the same page that touch is a powerful thing. Either the presence or the absence of it, touch is a powerful thing. Do you know the story of Ole and Lena? Now, Norwegians tell it as a joke. I will tell it in honor of Norwegians today, okay? But Ole and Lena. Ole and Lena had been married for 50 years. They were sitting in their rocking chairs on their front porch, watching in silence as the sun set in the west. After a time, Lena finally said, "Ole, do you love me?" Long pause. Ole said, "Lena, I told you 50 years ago that I loved you, and if ever that changes, I'll let you know." Whenever I hear that joke, don't you just want to reach out and give Lena a hug? Imagine how her life would have been different if Ole had stepped into his role and said to her every day, "You are the love of my life," gave her a warm kiss and a gentle embrace. But now, let's leave room for different personalities, different ethnic backgrounds, different life experiences, but we get the point, don't we? Verbal, emotional, physical, spiritual, touch is important. Some of us coming into the bridge don't need a handshake on a Sunday morning, but a sincere hello can still warm the heart. In 1930, a behavioral psychologist named Harry Harlow joined the faculty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Dr. Harlow was known for his research involving rhesus macaque monkeys. He would raise infant monkeys from birth on, experimenting with them on touch deprivation, maternal deprivation, and social deprivation. To the point of raising these little monkeys, some of them with no stimuli of any kind for 24 months and longer, sometimes even shutting out the light of day, raising them in darkness. We should know that his research was one of the drivers in the decades following for animal rights activism. Without going into the sad results and facts of that experimentation, let it be said that the researchers found out that maternal contact and socialization and regular grooming of those little monkeys as they grew was key, was vital to their emotional, psychological, physiological, immunological health and well-being. The deprivation of touch, of community, was sad and appalling to watch. You know, it amazes me that it took a scientist to figure out what God's people who are close to Him have always known. That touch, community, is a gift from our Creator God. Think how God came to walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the day. Think about how He shares with us words like these from the Word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 33, where He says, "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides across the heavens to help you and on the clouds in His majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Touch, community. It's always been part of God's plan and the gift of the Creator. And today, let us ponder how community is still vitally part of the goal of our Savior God. And let's use this theme. Dear Lord Jesus, help me to embrace my role in community. It begins with our God, it extends to our world, but it also involves the care of the family of God. As the writer to the Hebrews begins the section of our time together today in the Word, he implies that true human community, vital to all people, begins with our God. He says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God," pulling back that first thought, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. The book of Hebrews is pretty deep, my friends. Let's try to keep it simple this morning. Before Jesus died for you and for me and for the sins of the entire world on the cross, the place of worshiping God was not open to mankind. The altar in the church across the way symbolizes the presence of the Almighty God, which in ancient times was known as the most holy place. The most holy place was found in the Jewish temple at Jerusalem. And in those days, no one could look into that room, no one could see its contents and live, except for one day a year, when the high priest of God would enter through that curtain, walling off that room. But he could only do it with the blood of a bull, taken in a bowl to sprinkle on the atonement cover of the Ark of the Covenant of God himself to atone for the sins of the people. One day a year, his eyes only upon pain of death. The only problem was that the blood of a bull could never atone for the sins of people, of you and me. The blood of the bull was intended by God to point ahead to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who would come and save us from our sins by shedding his blood on the cross. And if you recall on Good Friday, when he gave up his spirit and died, what happened to that curtain? It was torn in two from top to bottom as the blood of Jesus paved the way to the presence of the Almighty God with his blood shed for our sins. So lessons for us to learn thus far. You and I have free access to the presence of the Almighty God. Whenever we need him, whenever we want to go to him in prayer, and even on the day that we die, free access, because the blood of Jesus has torn the curtain, paved the way, and given us eternal life through the forgiveness of our sins through faith in him. Years ago, a man named Paul called me. You'll meet him in heaven, true name, Paul. Paul called me and he asked me, could I visit him in his apartment? Paul, in his 60s, was a chain smoker, his hands and his fingernails yellowed by the smoke, coughing heavily, sitting across from me in his apartment, dying of lung cancer. Paul, who had been long time removed from church, from confirmation, from any contact with his Savior. Paul knew he was dying, and he was afraid. He was looking back at his sinful life, and he was afraid, and he was even ashamed to tell me what exactly he had done. But he remembered enough of church, of that community, of that message, to wonder to himself, could God possibly still want a relationship with me? And he wanted to know from me, is there any way that he could still be part of the community with God? You see, Paul had a desperate need for the community he had once known. And Paul was ready to acknowledge that the only true human community that matters begins in the presence of the Almighty God. And I? Well, I was privileged, literally weeks later, to preach for his funeral and to tell the very few people gathered there, did you know that Jesus, the great priest in the house of God, took Paul by the hand and ushered him into the presence of his Father through the curtain that once divided, but walked him in on a red carpet paved with Christ's blood? You see, my friends, true community with God, that's where the joy is. That's where the joy is. Dear Jesus, help me to embrace my role in community. It all begins with you, O God in heaven. Just meeting a lot of you, most of you, all of you, names coming and going in my head. Why did St. Paul's call me? On behalf of the members and all of you, I think it's found in verse 23 of our text. where the writer says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, we share. For he who promised is faithful. A wise man once penned the thought that a cleansed heart leads to open mouths and speaking lies. And St. Paul's The Bridge has said, why don't we do more to actively reach out with this amazing supreme treasure of forgiveness and community with God that we enjoy through Jesus? You know, in many circles, St. Paul's The Bridge is a big deal. 2,700 plus members at this campus. My friends, that's a lot of people in some circles. That's a lot of staff. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of programming. That's a budget and a half. That's a lot of work. And you know, someone might actually think to himself or herself, why is St. Paul's doing so much? Don't we outreach enough? Why can't some other church bear some of that load? But apparently that is not how St. Paul's rolls, which is so awesome because it brings great joy to our Savior, God. St. Paul's has heard Jesus saying this, taking liberty with a little bit of the book of Acts. You are to be my witnesses in Muskego, in Wisconsin, in the United States, and to the ends of the earth. Now that, my friends, for the Bridge is a tall task. That's a lot of work. To the ends of the earth. Which is why 3,000 people came to faith in Peter's first sermon on a day that Christians call Pentecost. There was work to do in the kingdom, and God needed people. The message of salvation was cascading out of the throne room of God. The curtain of sin that had separated us from God was torn in two by the blood of Jesus. And the blessings of God were overflowing into the lives and into the hearts of people, and in fact overflowing into the world, even to the ends of the earth, so that today we sit at the Bridge, blessed by the overflow of God's love through God's people in this thing called outreach and nurture. And so the Bridge is saying, Savior God, 2,700 people here after 160 years worth of work, that's awesome. But there is more work for us to do, God, and we want to do it for you. We want to reach out more widely, more broadly, more deeply into the fabric of your world. For Christian community begins, God, with you and your love in Jesus. It comes to us through the message, and it's our opportunity to share with the world. You see, this Christian community professes God's hope. Hope in Jesus that raises people's hearts and eyes from the present with its suffering and challenges to the future. Community in the presence and blessing of God forever. It's called eternal life. This past week, on behalf of Jesus and you, I was privileged to go and meet with a father and a son whom I will call Robert and Sam. I met with them in an extended stay hotel. Robert, the dad, is recovering from a pretty serious injury and a surgery. With the word from the doctor, no weight of any kind on that heel for 3 months. Sam, at the age of 19, just started a job to make money to help pay for Dad and him and to keep him alive. And the request came, St. Paul's, do you think that maybe you could help? Did you know that some in the city of Muskego have caught on and know that the love of God exists in this place? And they're telling people, like Robert and Sam. I don't know if they know how exactly God's love impacts this community. I don't know if they understand that this community knows the sacrificial love of Jesus that paved the way to our God in heaven through his blood, and we just are excited about that. But we want our community to know that we're ready to share it full bore with our community, this great community that we enjoy through Jesus that we get to share. And so I was privileged to go and share with Robert and Sam the truth of Jesus for them. That most importantly, the gift we could share was that Jesus took all of our sins on himself and gave to us his holiness in this thing we call the great exchange that God did all of. And to share with them that at St. Paul's at the bridge, community with God is what we're all about. Community with each other is what we're all about, and sharing that community is who we want to be. And so my plan is to go back and talk more with Robert and Sam, and to let them know just how easy the access to our God is. That we can approach him anytime we wish through prayer, open his word anytime to hear his heart and his voice. And we can do this knowing that our Father in heaven will bend his ear to listen to our needs because he has tucked us into his heart of love. Because you and I know that community begins with our God and his love and flows to us and through us to the world. But the Spirit also has one more thought for us this morning. He wants us to remember that we are to be aware of community care here at home within the family as well. He says this, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." There's an old story, probably fictitious, but an old story of a certain pastor who was mourning over one of his members who had stopped coming to church. And so the pastor went to visit that member in his home, and he got into the man's home, and the man was sitting in a chair before a roaring fire. And the pastor went and took the tongs off the hearth, and he grabbed one brightly glowing coal, and he took it out, and he set it on the hearth, and he went and he sat down. And the pastor and his member sat and watched that bright fire in the coal slowly begin to dim and eventually go away. And then the pastor got up and took the tongs again and grabbed the coal and put it back in the fire, and within seconds it was glowing brightly. And the member said, "Pastor, you don't need to say a word. I'll be there on Sunday." For a community to grow and to be happy and healthy, community needs to get together. Community that needs to take the time to know each other, to talk to each other, to share with each other. Amazingly, Muskego gets it. I just found out about jamming on Janesville, and pretty audacious, Muskego's World Fair. Wow, awesome. And Sally Walner and I, we went to the Chamber of Commerce meeting on Wednesday night. Yeah, where business leaders get together who care about the community, and they care and they share and they talk. Muskego gets it. May it, by God's grace, be true of this community to get the importance of community. A community that begins with God and his forgiveness, that flows into us through the message of forgiveness, that flows out of us as a message for all, for forgiveness for all, and for community for all. We love the fact that all of us are here. We want all of us to come back because this is God's community. And in God's community, in Jesus, there is blessing. But to be away from that community can be dangerous. Not can be, is dangerous to faith and to salvation. So I ask you, what is your role for the health of this community? Look around you. Are there faces missing today? Faces that have been missing for a while that need to be here. Could you be the pastor in the story and reach out to that person? Could you text? Could you email? Could you phone and say, hey, we missed you at the bridge, friend. Jesus still is loving and speaking at the bridge. What is your role for the health and love of this community? Look around you. Is there someone you have never spoken to? Is there someone that you do not know? Now, chill, be careful. There are some